Wildcats of Northwestern, Evanston, Illinois.
It's time for Wildcat Insider. On the home of Chicago's Big Ten team, 720 WGN.
Tonight's the night. Let's get this season rolling. Obviously, it hasn't been great 2 weeks in, but the Duke Blue Devils at Ryan Field tonight. No time like the present to start a winning streak. Andy Mazur, I'm Mark Carmen. We're with you till 6:30. The good doctor, Dr. Jim Phillips, Northwestern's outstanding athletic director, joining us now as we start our Wildcat Insider. Dr. Jim, I know it's been a tough first 2 weeks. We wanted to check on your mental state here first. I know you're a very positive guy, and I know that you're ready for tonight. But it had to be there had to be a moment in time where you had to kind of like recalibrate a little bit after week one and two.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I thought opening weekend of college football started today. Have I been somewhere other than on this planet or what? You're right. No, I agree with you, Mark. It wasn't. And Andy, it has not been the start we wanted, but this thing's long this season, and you just see the scores again today.
Yep.
And when you start 60 minutes of football, there's not a lot that separates one team from another. And when I look back at last year when we won 10 games, seven of those games we won by a touchdown or less, and that's historically who we've been. We've been a really good program that has won the close games. And when you look at the first 2 weeks, we lost opening weekend by one, and we're getting ready to score a touchdown. We have first and goal at the 6-yard line with 2 minutes to go, and we turn it over. And then last week, you saw a field goal as time expired. So, all that being said, we have to play better. I really expect us to play better tonight against Duke, and excited about the opportunity.
I was starting to think that I was the jinx because I was at the first two games. I'm not going to come tonight just to see how it works out. So hopefully that will help you guys a little bit. But
I'm glad you told me that, Andy, because we will have Evanston police at the border of Chicago city limits and the start of Evanston from here on out if we take care of business tonight.
If you win tonight, I'm not coming near it. I won't even be near it, I swear. But you brought up a good point too, because you know you've got a game tonight, and then obviously the Big Ten season starts, and with all the upheavals that the Big Ten. Has had today, and it's kind of bode pretty well if you get a win tonight on a good note going into conference play.
Yeah, you really need to. And what I like we did, as we always try to do with our non-conference scheduling with Stanford last year and Notre Dame with 2 years ago, we always try to play a pretty strong non-conference schedule. And people, you know, need to understand Western Michigan's a good football team. You see what they're doing again today down in Champaign. Illinois State and North Dakota State, who beat Iowa, are two good programs, and they're going to fight it out for the FCS championship. Playing Duke gets us ready for next week as well, and it really is about trying to win a conference championship, because if you're in the hunt for a conference championship, you're talked about nationally, and that's where our goals always begin and end. And so it's important for us to play well tonight, just not only win but to play well, and get ourselves ready for Nebraska and the start of Big Ten play.
And since Dr. Jim brought it up, Western Michigan leading Illinois 24-10. They're in the third quarter down in Champaign. Of course, the Wildcats play the Broncos in week one. Dr. Jim, you're around the program so much, and of course you're on the field during the game. You see guys that were hanging their head after losing to Illinois State, which is extremely normal. And I heard from our sideline guy, Adam Hogue, that you were propping guys up walking off the field, say, hey, keep your head up. We got a long season to play. What's it like for you around the student athletes when they have the standard up and down that goes through a season and you lose a tough game at home? I know that's Fitz's job, but you're down there too.
Listen, these are kids, young men, 18 to 22 years old. Nobody feels worse than they do. Sure, we're competitive. We want to win. I want to win badly. But at the end of the day, I want them to have some support and understanding that it's all relative, and the sport of football is a great sport, and that they have a chance every week to go out there and play a game that they love. And so absolutely be disappointed about a performance or about a result of a game, but there's still more football to be played. And that's the thing I love about it, and that's the thing I love about being around young people at a place like Northwestern, because they're high character kids. And they care an awful lot. So that's not a time to pile on or be, negative or critical. It's really a time to uplift and let them know that it's going to be okay and they're going to live to fight another day.
Dr. Jim, I wanted to ask you kind of a more broad question about the entire athletic department. And I'm a big baseball guy, and I was very impressed with the new facility there, the Miller Park. And I know Coach Spencer Allen didn't have the season he wanted to, but you can see things are starting to get in the right direction. And with commitments to facilities, you know, not only does it kind of spur interest from a fan base, but also it really kind of motivates your coaches and your players, doesn't it?
No question, Andy. It's a part of having a world-class institution. And just as if you invest in science buildings and business schools, which we've done here and are doing, I think it's just as important to invest in athletics. It remains the front porch to a university. It's really a great entry point for people to get to know your university as a whole. And it's such a visible area. And so if the front porch looks good, I think there's this idea that the rest of the place looks good. So athletics is important, and facilities is a big piece of it. And you mentioned one of the facilities that we just opened up, a nearly $20 million brand-new baseball park, Rocky and Bernice Miller Park. We also have our $265 million lakefront athletic center that's going up, and we're probably about 14 months away from walking in there. And then as both of you guys know, as big basketball fans, we made an announcement a few months ago that at the conclusion of this 16-17 men's and women's basketball season, we're going to spend $110 million to renovate Welsh Ryan Arena. So if you think or wonder if Northwestern's all in relative to athletics, that's $400 million-plus dollars of new or renovated facilities, which is what the kids deserve, the coaches deserve it, the fans deserve it that come and support us. I can't tell you how incredibly excited I am because that takes commitment from a university, a president like Morty Shapiro, a chairman of the board like Bill Osborne. I can't thank those guys enough for making this happen. But it's exciting because, again, it's an investment in these young men and women that we get a chance to be around.
Okay, so Dr. Jim, let me give you my 2 cents here about the new Welsh Ryan Arena, the renovation. See, I still go to sleep at night dreaming of old Chicago Stadium, which was the greatest place on earth, and I'm so happy that you're renovating Ryan. What am I talking about? Well, Welsh Ryan. It's important that you have some old school smell in there. So don't like completely sanitize the place. Like let it feel like people have been in there for a while. That's important to me. Can you get that done?
We're going to get that done. We definitely get that done. But I think you bring up a really good point, Mark, and it was part of our research that we did, whether to just build a brand new facility or to renovate one. First of all, we want to be on campus, so we don't want to move, you know, off campus 5, 7, 10 miles away. We want to be in the heart of campus. Secondly, we did a great study. It took us about 14 months, but we went around the country and looked at some great renovations that have taken place, most notably to Allen Fieldhouse and to Cameron Indoor. And so what you're going to see is you're going to see a downsize in numbers. We're a little over 8,000 or so. I think that number is going to be in the lower 7,000. The seats are going to be on top of each other. Great viewing points from every seat in that arena. Concourses, restrooms, concession. Really the fan amenities is what is driving this project. And so I'm excited about it. I think it will be really loud, and that's one of the things I've told the architects. I want it to be a home court advantage and have great acoustics in there. So I think you're going to be pleased and can't wait to get a shovel in the ground at the conclusion of the season.
Yeah, it's good. Interesting that you say that too, because you talk about taking the seating bowl down a little bit. Make it, you want to make it an event, and you want to make it an in-demand kind of ticket, right?
Not everybody has this opinion, but going to Northwestern basketball, that's my favorite event in the city.
That's
where I'm at. Dr. Jim knows that I'm a little over the top here, and not many people would say that, but I just love it. It's every game's important, and it's just I'm waiting for the day, Dr. Jim. You know this when you punch the ticket to the tournament.
You're coming with. We're guaranteeing you a ticket, Mark. There's no question.
I'm looking forward to it. Hey, we're going to talk to your head women's soccer coach, Michael Monahan, coming back here. So thanks for the time. Good luck tonight, and we'll see you on the field. Give your 100% tonight, Dr. Jim. I know you will, and hopefully we can see you win.
You got it. Mark and Andy, great to be with you guys. Go Cats.
Go Cats. Our pleasure.
Good night tonight.
Quick timeout. We'll bring in Coach Moynihan next, 720 WGN. Wildcat Insider continues. Cats and the Duke Blue Devils from Ryan Field tonight at 6:30. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Andy Mazur. He is Coach Moynihan. Michael Moynihan joining us, the head women's soccer coach, 8-0 on the season. We'll get to that in a second, Coach, but you've got one thing in your bio that's more impressive, I think, than anything else, and that's that your top assistant, David Nikolic, has been with you for more than 20 years, which tells me that you know how to be in relation with people. I can't get people to hang out with me for more than 20 minutes. Andy's tried to leave the show three times today. Can you explain how you've gone about having such a great working relationship with somebody that's obviously important to you?
Yeah, well, you know, David makes it pretty easy. He's a pretty laid-back guy. I think we complement each other really well. There's certain things about the game that I think we see very similarly. We have a similar vision for how it should be played and all of that. But David's, I think, an excellent communicator. He's kind of, when I get a little hot-headed or if I get a little impatient, he's the one that kind of calms things down and brings things together again. So, you know, it's probably more because of David than me. I have to give him the credit maybe, but I do like to keep him involved as well, and I think that's probably something that he's appreciated over the years, where he has a lot of responsibility. There's a reason he's an associate head coach. I do defer to him a lot in certain situations, and I take his input very seriously. So I think, I don't know, we have a good understanding of each other.
Very cool.
Hey, Coach, you're off to a great start. You know, noticing, too, now in your fifth season, what's the process been like building Northwestern's women's soccer program back up to respectability?
Well, it's been a long haul. We had some lean years, I guess, in terms of results. But I think from day one, you know, things that I can definitely say I appreciated, the support from our administration and NU Athletics has been fantastic. The athletes, I think, have pretty well bought in right from the very beginning. And from the time we started our first practice, the girls were excited about, I don't know, heading in a new direction and trying to get better. And, you know, we've added depth to the roster. We've added some talent. But all along, they've, you know, they're Northwestern students. They like to, they know what it means to work. And I've really appreciated that. So, you know, sometimes it's been a little bit frustrating and sometimes it feels like it's taken a little too long, but I guess I've enjoyed it the entire time, you know, and I feel like we've always been moving forward and we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, but obviously the key is to get some of the student athletes, especially early, to kind of buy in to set a tone or a culture, right?
Yeah, for sure. We had, there was some interesting dynamics. And I don't think it was necessarily, I don't know, character or anything of people. It was just some habits that people had that weren't really in line with what you would see an elite team doing. And that is one thing that a lot of the players, you know, that were here when we arrived, they really bought in and they started to understand it. And that's probably one of the things I'm most proud of is the class that was freshmen when we were when we first arrived. By the time they were seniors, there was so much improvement and so much change in the chemistry and the culture of our team. And those kids led the way. They're the ones that kind of got it started for us. And we started to see the success on the field as well.
Coach, is Tom Waddell's daughter on your soccer team? Is that accurate?
She was. She was actually at our game the other night. Georgia came back. She's been done now let's see. Two years ago is when she finished. So.
Okay. We're getting texts on that, so I figured I'd bring it up. You've got you're 8-0, and you've had eight different goal scorers in all eight games. The balance, did you expect it to be that way?
Well, it's what we were hoping for. I didn't know what to expect heading in, but we were hoping for pretty balanced scoring. We knew that scoring was something that was going to be really important for us. We lost our leading scorer, and one of our key midfielders, Nikki Sebo, who had done a lot to generate, you know, attack for us. She was, you know, done with her playing, and that was going to be a big hole for us. So Brenda Lavera has really stepped up. She's only a sophomore, and she's kind of taken a lot on her shoulders. But then, you know, we've gotten, as you said, well-rounded scoring from other places. So we have to hope that that continues.
Okay, obviously you have to score goals to win, but it certainly helps when you're not allowing goals at all. I mean, this is an impressive little run you guys are on here defensively, and I'm obviously a tip of the cap to your goaltender as well, right?
Yeah, you know, she's got the record now. She's only, you know, She's still, we're not even quite halfway through her junior year, and she's already got the record for shutouts at Northwestern for women's soccer. The team just set a record for most shutout minutes consecutive, like 536, 38, something like that, minutes consecutive without conceding a goal. So that surpassed a record that has been held since 1997. So quite an achievement. I think the defending starts from the very front of the field. And it's something that we emphasize a lot, that the energy of the forwards is really important in establishing a tone. And then, of course, all the way back to our goalkeeper, she's really something else. She's a very calm, collected person and some fantastic athletic ability.
536 minutes and 39 seconds, Coach, but who's counting? Just want to...
Yeah, there we go.
That
hopefully it keeps going up.
Absolutely, that's not bad. You played in the Big Ten at Wisconsin, now coaching at Northwestern. How has your opinion changed of what the Wildcats were then when you were a player to like being involved with the university as the head coach now?
That's a tough one. Back when I was playing, Northwestern soccer was not, it wasn't being mentioned, with any of the teams. And then Coach Lenahan's come in and done an unbelievable job with the men's side and really elevated that program. I don't even think they had a women's – no, they didn't. They didn't have a women's program at that point. And Northwestern athletics in general, the whole image and profile has changed dramatically. In a lot of the sports, it felt like Northwestern was near the bottom of the Big Ten and kind of the team that a lot of other teams were relishing playing, and now it's entirely different. Every team is a team to be reckoned with.
Coach, you're a part of that. Congratulations, and thank you for taking time on Wildcat Insider on 720 WGN.
All right. Thanks for having me. Go Cats.
Absolutely. Coach Michael Moynihan joining us here at 720 WGN. Cats women's soccer 8-0 to start the season.
It's amazing. Defensively, the run that they are on right now, that's unheard of.
I should have played more soccer in my life. I think I would have been halfway decent at it. I could have played.
Sure about that?
I have a moderate confidence / inflated opinion of my abilities, yes.